conscious of ourselves. We can become so oblivious of other people, even their presence, that even our adjective, when we disguise a purpose, a person has thoughtful, we don't mean this person has thoughts. Every rational person has thoughts. But a person said to be thoughtful when marvel of marvels, that person has somebody else on their mind than you know whom. And that is not easy. I've been taught how to pray for too many years in the Society of Jesus. I've over the years tried to help people to pray, not to know how the first precondition, the solid rock on which prayer begins, is an awareness of God's presence. And just using the word God, believe me, is no indication that I'm aware of God's presence. No more than, say, the message that I get on the telephone. I call the wrong number. I get a message. Well, that person, I get the message of it. Well, that person is not aware of my presence. Various conversation. Our Father, and then Christ goes on, who art in heaven. By the way, if ever you want to say a short prayer of thanks, thank the Lord with all the thousands of changes it has made in our prayers. The still bona fide English translation is, Our Father, who art in heaven. So we're addressing God in heaven. Where is heaven? Heaven is where the experience of God's presence is enjoyed. Have we talked about this before? Oh, this is pretty important, isn't it? Heaven is where the experience of God's presence is enjoyed. So that, in the deepest sense of the word, is God on earth. Are we to experience God's presence on earth?
Yes.
Are we?
Yes.
Are to we enjoy that experience of God's presence on earth? Yes. So when we see who art in heaven, see, I didn't realize that. He's right here. This is so true that theologically, we say that a person of the state of grace, with the indwelling Trinity, whose effect is sanctifying grace in the soul, there is no real objective difference between the presence of God, which we call the indwelling, with the effect sanctifying grace in the soul. There is no real difference between that divine indwelling in our souls and the state of grace than our possession of God in eternity. No real difference, objectively. And the more we strive to do God's will, and the more we are mentally, and the more ready we are volitionally to respond to this presence of God, the more joyful will be the experience of this presence. We're supposed to have And it's not just a cheap word. We're supposed to have a foretaste of heaven on earth. Did you know that? Life in this world is to be enjoyable. Say that again. Life in this world is to be enjoyable. Father, you don't know the suffering that I'm undergoing. My dear, are you telling me that joy and pain are contradictions? Are you saying that joy and pain are incompatible? Don't you dare say that. The deepest joy on earth is experiencing pain out of love for God. This is real. No wonder there's so many unhappy people. Say they buy another car. Or they buy new rugs. Or they get a new dishwasher. Or they get a new television set. Or, well, they drink more. Or they eat more. Or they go to Hawaii or the Bermudas. You know what I'm saying? To make them more happy. Oh, how silly. We are to enjoy the presence of God on earth. Of course, we've got to pay the price. But the very first word in English, depending on the language, in Latin is Pater Noster. In English it's Our Father. But notice, whether it's Noster in Latin or Our in English, it is the first person plural. And Christ did not yet even go on to the petition. There are 7 petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Already in the opening act of reference, our Lord tells us when we pray, we are to pray being aware of the fact that we are not praying alone. It is not only we who are praying, others are praying too. We're not only praying for ourselves. We should never, what a safe statement, we should never exclude anyone from our prayers. And, with emphasis, if you want to experience real deep joy, start praying for the one whom, humanly speaking, you find the most difficult, the most disagreeable, the most nasty character in your life. I don't call them up. I never knew I'd have this experience. Great joy, because I prayed for the person who is, in my judgment, the most difficult creature on earth to love. You, my dear, don't tell them that. This is real. That our in the Lord's Prayer is not a mere plurality. It is an act of faith that we are not alone. Even as God, what a mystery. Even as God, there's only one God, one divine nature. Even God is a society. 3 persons. There cannot be a solitary, unipersonal God. And then we address God as Father. If we ask, whom are we speaking to when we recite the Our Father? Is it the first person of the Trinity, or is it all three persons? It is all three persons. Within the Trinity, of course, there is one person who is Father. For the very good reason, we believe that within the Trinity, one person, the first person, is the one from whom the second person, as we say, originates. He then is the Father. However, in the Lord's Prayer, we are speaking to all three persons, and not only the first person, but we are addressing God now, not precisely as Father within the Trinity, but as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is a Father toward us. And He is a Father by every right of that name. What is a Father? A Father is the origin or the source of another being. God is our Father. And the word Father means everything that all the literature of all the nations of history have put into fatherhood. Except for God, none of us would exist. That's quite a fatherhood. As Father, God is the one who not only gave us our existence, but keeps us in existence and activity. That's pretty important. There is no such thing as an absentee God. We further believe this God is our Father because He provides us with everything we have needed in the past, we need today, and will need not only until the end of time, but for all eternity. This God is our Father because He loves us. And if love gives, what have we? What do we hope to have that we have not or do not hope to receive from God? Everything. We address God as our Father. He has a kingdom, and He has made us to share in that kingdom. We are His heirs. Mysteriously, as we use the language, we have a right to heaven. Why? Because God has called us to enjoy that heavenly home where the God who made us awaits, shall I say, our return. We came from God and we are going to God, all dependent on this unspeakable love of the God whom we casually call our Father. If God is our Father, what then follows? All human beings are therefore what? Our brothers and sisters. We belong to a family. All of this is locked up. We haven't even got to the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. We've just said two words, Our Father. And now we address Him. But notice how wise, shall I say, how shrewd of Christ, who art in heaven. We've said heaven is where the experience of God's presence is enjoyed. Heaven is where the experience of God's presence is enjoyed. Once you realize that, I mean everything I'm saying, your life will radically change. Why? Because then the God to whom you're speaking, the God to whom you're speaking, you dare not say is far away. There's a profound sense. We cannot explain, but we believe it. God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. God is not we, and we are not God. He is He, and we are we. But except for Him, having made us out of nothing, and His continued presence in every fiber of our body and faculty of our soul, what would we be? We'd become what we were before we became what we are, which is exactly, mathematically, metaphysically, nothing. When then we address God as in heaven, we are addressing God to where there are people who experience God's presence. Is God everywhere? Does everybody experience the presence of God? By experience, I mean awareness. No. Rational, conscious awareness of God's presence presumes that a person believes in God and therefore knows that God not only exists, but He exists in me. I go further. Does everyone enjoy the experience of God? No. And with things, as we casually say, when things happen in people's lives, they get scared, terrified. What am I going to do? Cool down. God is behind what you call a problem. God is behind that pain. Don't tell me God sends me pain. No. I am telling you. And I come back to what I said before. Is it possible to enjoy pain? Yes. How? By seeing God in that pain. You have a tooth extracted. It's painful. I'm getting down to the lower level here. Is it possible, psychologically speaking, knowing you've got to see an impacted tooth that needs extraction, is there, in an intelligible sense, happiness or joy in having that tooth extracted? Yes, my mind tells me, and my body, but am I making some sense? Because then, once I realize that the hands that rest so heavily on my shoulders are the hands of God, the weight is still heavy. But then, I know. He says, God, show me His love for me. And remember, even a great saint like Teresa of Avila, remember, she complained. No wonder, Lord, you've got so few friends. Look how you treat them. Well, that's why God gives us mystics to shake us out of our stupor and realize there's a real world which is not the world of size, weight, shape, and sound. Of course, 2 minutes to go. Of course, when we address God as our Father who art in heaven, of course, we are also speaking to God who is in the heaven where the angels and saints are enjoying His beatific vision. But then that shouldn't bother us, because He is the same God who became man in heaven at the right hand of His Heavenly Father, yes, and providing ecstatic beatitude to the angels and saints. He is that same God in human form on earth?
Yes.
Yes. He's here. And I'm cheating a little bit. I want to steal from one of the later petitions of the Lord's Prayer when we pray, remember, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My friends, that's the secret. The secret of experience heaven on earth. The secret of experiencing heaven on earth is to do God's will here on earth in what we call the Valley of Tears as much as we can, as the will of God is being done in heaven, where everybody does God's will and everybody enjoys doing God's will. But there's one big difference. What a difference. On earth, you're to do God's will and even enjoy doing it. But, as we all know, on earth, doing God's will also, comma, always means carrying the cross. One of my favorite definitions of heaven. Heaven is doing God's will and enjoying the experience, and no more endurance of the cross. And it is 20 of. Sign of the cross, just to close the lecture. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.